I'm with Dr. Roger Thomas, a former pupil of Llanelli Grammar School. Dr. Thomas, a long journey, really. Your primary school was where in Llanelli?
Well, I went to Market Street Infants and Park Street.
Market Street and Park Street.
And then on to Llanelli Grammar School.
Yeah. Your background, your parents, are they living in the town somewhere,
yes,
working?
My father worked in the town hall for many, many years.
Right.
My mother was nursing initially, then had family, my brothers and sister, and then she went back to nursing after that then, so until they both retired.
Obviously, to get to the grammar school, you'd have had to have a good preparation within the primary school as well. Teachers,
yes,
there, do you remember them well in the primary school?
Mr. Bonnell was the headmaster of Park Street, I remember him very well, and Mr. Lewis and Miss Jones, and then we sat the 11 plus, and I think about four of us got into the grammar school from...
Not many, is it, from the whole school?
No, it wasn't.
Though the numbers were quite low in a lot of schools, I guess.
It was quite a strict exam and quite selective in those days, you know. We felt quite privileged. Maybe.
And you had to be an all-rounder to pass in English and maths, I guess.
Yes, well, in the primary school, I suppose, English and arithmetic. And
do you remember sitting the exam?
No, not really, no. I remember going to the grammar school. Well, I remember, funny enough, I remember going to Park Street first of all, my first day there from the infants. I felt very grown up.
Yeah.
And then I remember going to the grammar school, and then all of a sudden I was in with these boys from everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, they came from outside Llanelli as well, as Llanelli as well.
And where did your uniform, Raisins? From Raisins, or where did you get your uniform from?
Reginald Watson.
Reginald Watson.
That seemed to be the one that went for years.
Yeah. Right.
Cowell Street, isn't it?
So in the town in Cowell Street, yeah. First day, your cap is on, your blazer's nice and clean, your shorts, I guess, or your trousers, I don't know, your tie.
Short trousers.
What was the welcome like from, it was a massive jump up, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the thing about it then, the school was in two halves at that time because the new school in Pwll had just been opened about 2 years before.
Mm.
So we were in the bottom school, as it was called.
The younger pupils.
Well, we didn't see them at all. And so it was really only Forms 1, 2 and half of Form 3. So it wasn't a very big school, even then, you know. I can't remember much. I've got one photograph of me with a very old friend of mine who's passed away now, standing on the steps of the bottom school with Miss Yvonne Watkin Rees, who's... known as Maggie Soundbox,
right,
because she's just elocution or electrocution, as it's called.
Yeah.
And our class 1A1, I think I was in, and we were all standing the steps smiling, you know.
Do you hold with the fact that some people say it was a classic education, a privilege almost, and that, you know, some people would be more in the passing of grammar schools, but was it very much like a private school approach?
Well, the thing about it is everybody has equal opportunity, I think, and this is what is missed when they talk about grammar schools, because my grandfather worked in the tinplate works and he ended up his life as a labourer.
Yeah.
My father was lower middle class, clerical worker. So they could never have afforded to send me to a private education. So I had the great opportunity of going to the grammar school and getting a first class education, which I'd never have had otherwise. I'd never have been a doctor.
You say that you must have had a certain amount of, okay, your parents would have encouraged you and you'd have had to work hard, or I guess quite down on you, but you very self-motivated as well to get to becoming a doctor.
I can remember wanting to be a doctor, specifically a family doctor, from the age of 10 or 11.
Mm.
And everything I did from that moment on, even learning to drive, was so that I could drive a car to go visit my patients. And I learned to drive. I was very, very single-minded.
And altruistic to a certain extent, because a lot of people would have been having great fun. And I mean, I'm sure you did have fun in university and all sorts of things, but there's a certain discipline, isn't there?
Absolutely. And medicine's a very rigorous course anyway. And the last couple of years, I've been giving a little talk to some of the old age pensioners groups and about my early life. And I used to say that the art students seem to have 2 or 3 lectures a week, and we'd be off and carousing every night. And with us, we had sort of hours of study and working your way through Grey's Anatomy and God knows what. And it was a grind.
Where was your practice then?
Road surgery.
Dr. Roderick then? Were you?
Yes, that's right. Dr. Roderick headhunted me.
Did he? He's a lovely man, wasn't he?
He was a nice man, yes. I initially started up in Trimsaran.
Right.
I was doctor in Trimsaran for several years.
Yeah.
But that was a little bit too strenuous. It was a real grind, because in those days you were virtually single-handed and I'd need you on call almost every night of the
week. Were there times when you thought, what the heck am I doing? Were you just loved it so much?
Oh, loved being a doctor. Loved being a doctor. The work never seemed... Occasionally, when you got up for about the fifth time in the night to do a house call, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you've been up three times before, you think, oh, God, don't let the phone go again. But the next day, you'd bounce back, and that was it. You know, yeah. No, I loved it. I loved my patients. I felt they were an extension of my family. And, in those days, you were a family doctor, and, you had your own patients, your own, and they had their own doctor. And, when patients come in to see you, you'd know them so well, you'd know straight away whether they're ill or well, and you could start from there. Whereas latterly, well, before I finished, we'd become more of a group practice and amalgamated with other surgeries for night work. And you'd go out in the night and you'd see patients that you didn't know at all, and you had to start from scratch. And it lost a little bit of its attraction then.
The NHS has survived its 70th of age. Do you, looking at it, obviously, from... And not with rose-tinted spectacles from your days, but just with a realistic view of what it's like today for doctors. People are very critical of the fact they can't get to see a doctor. And with the pandemic now, things have been turned completely on their head. How do you see things panning out now? And how do you see the pressures that doctors are facing?
Things have changed so much. I feel sorry for patients. I feel sorry for doctors. The system nowadays obviously didn't suit us in a way, because the hours were open-ended. You just worked until the last patient went home. You covered all your night calls, your weekend calls yourself. It was arduous and strenuous. But as I say, there were moments when you really enjoyed it, and did enjoy it. Now I feel sorry, you were so close to your patients then. Mm. I think there's a distance now. I don't even know who my doctor is now. I mean, I'm retired, so I can't treat myself, obviously. Mm. I don't know who my doctor is. I know my surgery, but when I go up there, they don't know me. I have to explain everything from the beginning. If I need to go, touch wood, I haven't been often. I do feel sorry for both sides of the equation. And so many doctors these days seem to be part-time. Mm. They work 2 or 3 days a week, and the job is shared between them and another doctor.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I stayed, I finally qualified in Ireland, and a lot of my colleagues were going out to America to practice. Mm. And I thought, no, I can't go to America, because you're going to have to ask people for money to be treated. And that was against what I felt was my purpose. And I'd rather work in the National Health Service. It's open and free to everyone.
Did you ever pop out and sort of visit any of your former school pupils' families, and the big surprise for them? Wait, it's Roger.
Well, being I'm from Llanelli, I found out a lot of relatives I didn't know I had. My wife was from Llanelli as well.
Yeah.
Both our families were well embedded in Llanelli. So,
yeah.
Yes, I used to go, especially down the Morven seaside, and my wife's got a lot of relatives from down that way. And
Roger.
I found second and third cousins I never knew existed. So, and it was great, though. They were quite happy to be treated by me, and I was quite happy to treat them. And a good relationship. As I say, this was part of the fun part of the job, actually.
Yeah. Well, you've done well as a former grammar school boy. Looking at the association, obviously, we're building this archive online. How important is the association, the archive, the website, and for people who maybe don't know much about it to come on board and subscribe?
Oh, absolutely. I've learned a lot since I've become a committee member the last couple of years, and I've been happy to do so. And listening to some of the stories and the people who set up this archive, I'm fully behind it. It's brilliant, and the more we expand, and I'd like to emphasise, though, that we're not just Llanelli Grammar School. We're Llanelli Grammar School and Graig former pupils. I know the Graig have got their own organisation at the moment, but there are a lot of people there. I don't want them to think we're an elitist organisation of people who are privileged and went off to university. We cover all sorts. I mean, when I was actually in the grammar school, it became Llanelli Grammar Technical School, which widened its expansion under Mr. Stanley Rees at the time. And this was brilliant, because, didn't become such an elitist, especially as so many of the boys are from working class backgrounds. It opened up this. And so establishing what started off as a newsletter is rapidly becoming an archive of past memories and knowledge of the school. Absolutely fantastic. I think it's part of the history of Llanelli.
Yeah. looking at the school in general, the structure of that school, the teachers, I guess a lot of them have passed away now, but they were, again, from a different era, a different generation. They were strict men, majority, I would say, were men, weren't they? And they'd fought in the war. They were pretty strong guys.
They were. Many of the teachers, can remember most of them that taught me during my time there. Most of my memories are the latter years I was in school when I was science-based. Mm. But they were good teachers.
And they would have been the ones who'd come back from the war, who'd witnessed those horrors.
Yes, indeed. There was a mixture, as we were talking earlier on, Mr. Parker, myself, George, some of the teachers had taught during the war. They were older because they were too old for military service. And then I well remember Mr. Anthony coming to join us, but he'd come straight from teacher training college because there was such a shortage of teachers. And he was brilliant. He was an absolutely revolutionary sort of teacher that taught in a different way and inspired you. And of course, when I was hopefully going in for medicine, he was teaching science, and it pushed me along the way then.
Like you, wanting to become a doctor for humanitarian reasons and social, almost altruistic reasons, a lot of those teachers would have gone into that as a vocation for the very same reasons, that they wanted to make a difference. They wanted to make a difference in the world. They'd been to war, they'd witnessed the horrors, and this might be a way of educating and changing things. Do you hold with that? Do you think that's how they felt?
Looking back now, didn't realise it at the time because you're too young to... I was at an age where the war had not long ended, and you know, very well aware of what had happened because my father spent several years in Burma and India. I was away at the end of the war, didn't actually come back till nearly 1947. So because the victory over Japan didn't occur till 1946 or whenever. And so he didn't come back. And my earlier memories of my father's after he'd come back, and all I can remember my father was suffering from bouts of malaria, intense bouts of shivering, sweating, and he was put in the bedroom, and I didn't understand what was going on, but he was quite ill, and malaria he picked up, I've lost my train of thought.
the fact they wanted to do that, to make a difference.
Oh, yes, I think we were given a chance to improve ourselves, and especially in a town like Llanelli with heavy industry and so many boys going down the coal mines, down the tin works. They were hoping for better things for their sons and grandsons, and they knew you would be pushed.
So each boy they sort of pushed forward and produced a Lord Howard or a Dr. Thomas or an engineer working on the Aswad Dam and so on.
Each
one of those really must have given them a great amount of satisfaction.
I hope so, anyway. I hope so, yes.
And your friends in school, do you remember them well? Are you in touch with any of them? Do you remember some that you'd like to say hello to now? You'd like to ask to join, to keep in touch?
Well, unfortunately, there's several of my friends who were in school with me are dead. It's the sad thing. One of my closest friends, as I say, he became a headmaster of a school for children with behavioural problems. Which is funny because he had a lot of behavioural problems in school himself, and he was a bit of a bach and drwg, And he's died, but he again was from Trimsaran, and he appreciated that his father was a coal miner, and I think his father took him to the coal mine one day and said, "Look, boy," he said, "if you don't work in school, this is where you're going to go." And he eventually ended up, as I say, as a headmaster in the Inner Lander Education Authority. And then Professor Roger Owen, who died not long ago, he was in the same class as me, and he became a very eminent engineer. So him, and then there's Dr. Hayden Rees, who died last year, and he was in school with me, and he became a doctor.
Mm.
So unfortunately, there was Howell Thomas from Pontydlys o Llangennych. Howell was in medicine. He went to London the same time as me, and he's disappeared off the face of the earth now. And so I went off to Dublin, and of course, there was very few people from Llanelli in Dublin at the time, so I lost touch with my school friends, and I was there for 6 years. So unfortunately, we drifted apart, those that I remember from school.
And what do you think of the archive and the website now, given that you hope your children, your grandchildren will be looking back at this and looking at some of the material on there?
I'd like to think so, yes. And especially, as I say, that people coming after us now don't regard it as Llanelli Grammar School only, that the archive is all about the school building and the site as an institution has changed its name over the years, but you know, all the people who've gone through there are equally as important as us oldies who were in the grammar school. I mean, the grammar technical school, the Gymraeg comprehensive, and you know, coming on the Sir Gar, you know, it's important that there is a continuity. We'd like there to be a continuity so that older generations, they can add their more recent stories and build up an archive of the site, the site, you know, because the old grammar school's long gone. I mean, that's housing site now, isn't it?
So there we are. We've got the boy going into Park Street, the young kid there, then into the grammar school, doctor from the grammar school. Looking at today again, you know, with the pandemic, you tempted to roll up your sleeves and get muck in there?
Well, I was, but I've got a son who's a consultant physician in Cardiff in the Heath, and I've had very strict instructions from him not to go near it. He said, you don't dare go down, you're in a high-risk group. You keep away from it. In fact, the General Medical Council texted me last year, earlier on this year, and asked me they were going to reinstate my validation so that I could do something. So I told my son that. So I said, what do you think? He said, no way. He said, it's just not on. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to patients. And I said, well, it's 18 years since I did any actual practice of medicine, so maybe I'm a bit rusty now.
The head boy has spoken. Dr. Roger Thomas, many thanks for speaking to us. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to more stories online with some of the old boys from the association and from the Gymraeg Comprehensive as well. Thank you again.
Thank you.